Good morning. The February 26th meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding a in-person meeting with the virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda, committee reports, action items to be presented by the staff, other business, status report on current projects, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, and adjournment. For each agenda item, action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment session, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you may be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. This meeting is now called to order. First on our agenda is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion? Please, when you so move, you gotta state your name and stuff for the records.
Motion by Jamie McCurry, who doesn't know how to use the microphone.
Just tap that little area until it turns red. Got it.
I can sing.
All right, if the motion is second that the agenda be adopted, are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes by stating your name and whether you're voting in the affirmative or the negative. Starting the far my right.
Callanan, yes. Cody, yes.
Keller, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Walker, yes.
Milton, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Kanisati, yes.
Jared, abstain.
McCurry, yes.
All right. The ayes have it. Any opposed? All right. Is approved. All right, we have committee reports from the staff, the verbal.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
The Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee met this month and approved all agenda items, and the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee also met this month and approved all action items and held the meeting normally.
Okay. TCC.
I don't see the TCC chairwoman here, but TCC did meet last week, approved the action items, and we also did a status report and has had some kind of discussion. Thank you.
Okay. Executive report. We have anything from the executive director? Nothing?
Good morning. The executive director is online. She is at jury duty, but she is here. Just two things that we wanted to let you know, that we have now a new level of approval for all core MPO items from the federal side. And also right now we do have several projects where we've accepted proposals. We will be doing the interviews. However, we will not award contracts until we are fully assured that we will receive funding.
Okay. All right. Let us go to the action item. Approval of the December 18, 2024 core MPO board meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Second, Callanan.
Properly motion and second that the minutes be approved. Are we ready for the question? All right, let's begin the voting by stating your name and your vote, starting to far left.
McCurry abstain.
Jarrett abstain.
Ganisati, yes.
Scholar abstain.
Milton, yes.
Walker, yes.
Kegley, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Blumber, yes. Elder, yes.
Cody, yes.
Underwood abstain.
Callahan, yes.
Chairman, yes. Minutes are approved. National Highway System change of request.
Okay, I would just go over this very quickly. We got the request from Georgia DOT to make some upgrades or changes to the National Highway System and the Strategic Highway Network. That is because Georgia Ports Authority has military access right now. So Georgia DOT actually received the request from this Department of Defense, National Defense Highway Program. So so we will be trying to make these changes to accommodate these changes. So this is the table that shows the seven changes that are being proposed. But I'm just going to just focus on this map so you can see, because these segments correspond to that table. The first segment is the North Lathrop Avenue. And this segment will be removed from the Stunat, the military network. And then the West Lathrop Avenue will also be removed from the Stunat. And these are the two that we're removing from the Stunat. And the third one is the C. As you can see, this is a Stewart 25. So this one will be added to the Stunat network. And you can also see this tiny, tiny D over here. That segment will be added to the National Highway System and the Stunat network. And then this segment E over here, 307, that one will be added to the Stunat network. And then the Jimmy Deloach connector, this is segment F, will be added to both the National Highway System and then the Stunat. And then the last segment is this Jimmy Deloach connector over here. This segment will be added to the Stunat network. So basically, of seven segments, two will be removed from Stunat, and three segments will be added to the Stunat, and then two segments will be added to both National Highway System and then the Stunat. So this is the request that sent to us by Georgia DOT. The Federal Highway Administration guidance is that before you adopt any changes, you need to coordinate with the local jurisdictions that are being impacted or the MPO. So we are the MPO over here, and then we are comprised of all the local elected and appointed officials. So this is the place for our input.
Okay. Now. Okay. Question?
Commissioner Milton, please. My question is this the new exit coming from the ports to Louisville Road?
No.
No.
This is Lathrop. You got to go down past where the ILL building is. Mm-hmm. And then it's a little, I don't know how to describe that. It's a curb. That's not a curb. That is. And the county is in there, but also the city of Savannah is down in there too. What is that street that comes out of there? Isn't that Carolina that runs
from
Bay?
I think this is off Stewart 21.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That runs from down in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. They're taking that out.
I was just trying to see if that was the new.
No.
The new construction that I see being done. Okay.
No. It's not that.
Okay.
All right. Anyone from the city of Savannah want to comment about this or want to question about that? Those that are being taken off is in your jurisdiction, and those that are being added on a part of your jurisdiction.
Well, these two, A and B, the Lathrop Avenue, are still on the National Highway System. It's just taken off the military Stunat because the Port Authority has a like direct access for the military. So that's why they want to add some new Stunat network, but these two, the connector wouldn't be needed. But they're still on the National Highway System.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jay Melder from the City of Savannah. We are supportive of this.
Okay. Any, Any comments from the Port Authority?
Yes, sir. Jamie McCurry, Georgia Ports. Just for clarification, the reason for the request is that with the renovations of Ocean Terminal, which is where the A and B being removed, with Lathrop being removed from this plan comes into place, we will handle military vessels at Garden City Terminal instead of at Ocean Terminal, which is the justification for the background for the request.
Right.
Simply a shift in where military cargo will come and go from.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Any? All right. Let's move on.
Okay. We'll just ask for the board to approve. Do we need to make a motion?
All right. May I have a motion to approve the changes?
Kegler, motion to approve.
Palumbo, second.
Probably motion a second that we accept the National Highway System changes request. Ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far right.
Callahan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Cody, yes.
Miller, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Walker, yes.
Milton, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Ganisati, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
McCurry, yes.
All right, Chairman.
Thank you.
All right, we move on to the UPWP.
Yes, in December, I did present the preliminary draft for the Unified Planning Work Program, which is the Quorum PLC staff work program or budget. And the board actually endorsed us to just send send that draft to Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, and GDOT for review. And we did receive some comments back. And so this revised draft incorporated some of those comments. So I would just highlight those. So one part is like we have some new members on the board, on the TCC. As you can see, you also have some new members today. So we will try to plan for orientation, or you can also schedule individual orientation with us so we can go over specific project in your region, which like we have done for Tybee Island and Richmond Hill. But we will try to do that. So this is part of, so the roster, we have updated this, but the major comments from FHWA is they, because we're going to develop a new TIP, Transportation Improvement Program, they want us to add a schedule. So how do you want to do the Transportation Improvement Program? So we did add a schedule over here. So in this half year, between August and December, we intend to conduct call for projects. Because right now, because of the federal funding freeze, we don't know some of these. We don't know how much funds will be available to us. And then what kind, like for example, the carbon reduction program, we don't know whether those funds will still be available. But we do plan to conduct a call for projects. So after 2 months, maybe that will be set a little bit. And then after we gather revenue from GDOT, and we will start like a coordination and then allocate the funds to the projects that have gone through the call for project process. And so this is the schedule that we have. So the target for the adoption of the TIF is June, but this schedule is tentative because based on the assumption that the revenue will become available in January. But if the January revenue is late, so we might have a different schedule. But if the revenue comes early, and we can start the TIP earlier. So this is the major comment from Federal Highway Administration. And then we also, another change that we have made is the question Q&A or comment and response section. So this we documented all of the comments that we have received, and this is the Federal Highway one that I just talked about. And GDOT also want us to have the TIP development schedule. We added that. And then the City of Savannah, because we added a Bay Street micro-simulation modeling study, City of Savannah wanted to do the RFP process themselves. But we probably will apply for the discretionary PR funds in September on behalf of City of Savannah. But the thing is the discretionary PL funds are directly allocated to MPOs because those are MPO money. They are not directly allocated to local jurisdictions. So we have to conduct the RFP process. And then Effingham County also requested Old River Road corridor study. Since we already submitted, when we received the request from FEM County, we have already submitted the preliminary draft to Federal Highway Administration. So we're late. So we didn't have, in order for the special status to be included, we need to have at least two rounds of discussions. So we didn't have that. But if we determine that is needed later, we can amend the UPWP after two rounds of discussion. But for now, we do have a Old River Road widening project included in the 2050 MTP. So we might not need this study. And then another task is from CAT, because CAT previously have a sole bidder for the route matching software called Remix, but actually CAT did the RFP process, so they actually have three proposals. So we want to document that. So instead of just to say we're going to use Remix, we will see a software such as Remix, because we don't know what the final selected vendor will be. So these would be some of the comments that we have added in. And then there might still be some other changes that will take place in this document. But the tasks, the major tasks, what the staff will do don't change. We still have those major planning efforts like MTP maintenance, tip development, congestion management report card, and holding these meetings and conducting public involvement and maintain our website. So all of those tasks don't change. And also the budget doesn't change. The part that might be changed would be some of the language that we will add it throughout this document, because the new administration doesn't like the word resiliency, doesn't like the word environmental justice, doesn't like the word equity, but we have all of those words spread out this document, because that's based on the planning emphasis area that they did want us to incorporate into the UPWP. But now this new direction just came after January 20th, so we don't know. But we will ask this board to just approve the UPWP with the condition that the staff would just go in and added those based on the direction. But right now we just don't have any direction. So we were hoping that the Federal Highway Administration will issue a new directive on February the 18th, but it didn't happen. So we really don't know. What we have is the US DOT new secretary's executive order, but it's not specific. And we also know this Deputy Secretary is against Vision Zero, public transportation, and pedestrian safety. But we are all promoting for pedestrian safety. So we will probably, after the board approval today, and we will probably hold on to this document for probably a week or something to see whether we will get some new direction so that we will decide how to proceed with editing. But the main contents doesn't change. It's just a little bit of wording change.
All right. Any questions from any member? All right. Mayor Johnson.
So given that, I mean, I think ultimately for us,
the end goal doesn't change.
Yeah.
And it appears from here and throughout the country that it's an issue of words that have been weaponized in one way or another. Would it just make sense to wordsmith where we keep the end goal, although the trigger terms are not necessarily there? I think, you know, our goal doesn't change. How we get there might. And so would that be, you know, kind of a good preemptive issue, since we know that documents that contain those words are going to be an issue?
Yeah, we would just do some wordsmithing, but we would still do the job. I mean, we would still promote pedestrian safety no matter what, right? So we would still try to have like sidewalks and bike lanes. So we would still promote those, but we would probably try to tie those to like economic development,
right.
Just whatever
cost. Pedestrian safety, we don't want people to get killed.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But if that is a trigger word that might get us rejected.
Yeah, we want to like review the whole document to remove the trigger word, basically. Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other comment? Any other?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
Oh, okay. So the only thing I would recommend is that since you have all these things in flux and funding is frozen and You don't know whether certain programs or grant programs are going to be refunded or extended or not. Just as soon as you get information, just please pass it out to us so we know, because we've got some grants that we think we're awarded and or we have applied to, or we may be spending time getting applications ready for, that there's a possibility that that funding may not exist anymore. So as early as you get that information, please let us know.
Yeah, we try to include as much information as we can. As you notice the on the agenda, actually you notice that we included some information, information from AMPL, because AMPL was trying to like find out what happened. Like even the TIP amendment. So after Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration approve the TIP, they cannot authorize the funds directly because they have additional layer. And yesterday we received the notification about the NEPA process change. So we will try to convey as much information to you. But right now we are very confused. So there is so much uncertainty. So we can send you that information, but we don't have the interpretation because we don't know what will happen. So it just, the funding, they say the funding freeze, and then there's legal challenge to unfreeze the funds, but the administration doesn't stop the freezing. And then they also stop the disbursements of funds. So which is very confusing. But we did coordinate with GDOT, and Kenise might tell you, because what GDOT told us is like, we will proceed as if nothing happened until we told otherwise.
Any other? All right, so may I have a motion to give approval with the authority for them to change those trigger words so we don't trigger ourselves out?
Jared, so moved.
Johnson, second.
Probably motion and second that we give the staff a start to go ahead and prepare those documents with and looking at the trigger words. Are you ready for the question? Let's begin the voting to my right.
Callahan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Cody, yes.
Milder,
yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Kegler,
yes.
Walker, yes.
Milton, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Ganisati, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
McCurry, yes.
All right. And just remember now, GDOT said to go ahead and proceed as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
So we're following direction from the state, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. All righty.
And I will give a presentation on the US 80 corridor study as well.
Okay.
As you may remember, the US 80 corridor study phase two, it will cover, it's a corridor study that covers Effingham County segments of US 80. So it's the US 80 between Effingham County / Chatham County line to Effingham County / Bryan County County line. So we did advertise for the RFP actually from the Georgia Procurement Registry. But at last meeting, Chatham County and City of Savannah said that you have contact database. So we did coordinate with your office. Just want to let you know, we did coordinate with your office and we got those contact information. So between a Georgia Procurement Registry and the contact database that we got from City of Savannah, this RFP has reached almost 2,000 people. So by the end of it, we received two proposals. One is from Kimberly Horn, who actually did the phase one study. And then another one is the Pond and Company that did the Effingham County's master transportation plan. The review committee have already completed the written proposal review, and we have already compiled the scores, and we have already scheduled the interview for the consultants for their presentation next Tuesday. So by the end of that, and we will select the consultant and proceed with the negotiations, and we will develop the draft contract, but it's just we cannot sign the contract until we have more certainty about the funding. Any questions on that?
Questions? No, okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hi, good morning. Annabelle Merkel-McQuarrie, Quorum PO staff. So I'll be giving the staff report on the Urban Flood Model Phase 2 RFP. So similar to the previous study, we were awarded the amount for this. However, unsure about the funding. We did decide to place a 30-day pause starting on February 11th on this RFP. We did send it out. We did receive one submittal to the RFP. However, we decided this needed a pause to determine the impacts from the changes of the federal government. So the 30-day pause will end March 11th, and then we will decide how to proceed after that. We're hoping for more clarification.
Thank you. Questions? Everybody understand the pause, the reason for the pause, cause for the pause, whatever the pause is? Right. We're dealing with uncertainty. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, Alicia.
Okay, I will be talking about the bicycle and pedestrian facility study. So the full RFP and the addendum to the RFP can be found on our RFP website, which I've provided here. And just to give a little background on this project, this is a study that aims to document and create a mapped inventory of our bicycle lanes, sidewalks, and crosswalks throughout the entire Corimpio planning area. The study will also provide an analysis of the gaps and opportunities within our non-motorized transportation infrastructure system. Onto the current update with this RFP, it was released on January 21st, 2025. It's received several questions, and we answered those questions and posted them on the RFP website. I've provided the questions and answers below this table. So the deadline to submit RFPs was February 21st, and since that and before the deadline passed, we received 5 proposals. So moving on to the timeline, now the next step is to evaluate those proposals and score them and then eventually select who we would like to do the study. So we are putting together a review committee. So far we have 4 people that have volunteered to be on that review committee, but we need one more person. So if anyone would like to volunteer or know someone that could help review these proposals and score them, please let me know as soon as possible. We are aiming to finish the scoring and evaluation of these proposals by March 25th. So the project timeline is April 24th, 2025 to March 31st, 2027. And so far we are on schedule, even though there are some funding uncertainties. Are there any questions or comments?
Questions? Let me ask you one. The proposed folks that you're reaching out to ask to serve on the evaluation committee, are those board members, or are you asking the municipalities and all to get folks, to citizens, the constituents to volunteer to be on the committee?
So far we, most of the people on the volunteer committee are from the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee.
Right.
But we do need more people. And so if a board member is welcome to evaluate the RFPs as well, or they can appoint someone or suggest someone that can evaluate those projects.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So you need 4 more.
One more. You need to remember, if a board member sits, then they cannot vote.
Right. They cannot vote.
They can't
right.
vote. So you might want to appoint an employee of that jurisdiction instead.
Okay. So it might be one of, but you're looking for 1 more now, or you're looking for 4 more?
Just 1 more. We have
just
4 volunteers.
Okay. All right. So now let me ask the other question I want to ask too, is that in the introduction that's written up here, you got the word pedestrian, and that's one of them catchphrase keywords.
Yeah.
Do we need to do some editing there so that we don't catch some flack from somebody somewhere?
So that is on the table, editing where we can. We don't know the extent to which words are trigger words or not.
Right.
We've noticed that equity and resilience seem to be the really hot topic trigger words, whereas words such as poverty don't seem to be as much of a focus right now. So from my view, pedestrian on its own might be safe, but again, we are keeping our ear to the ground, and if we have to figure out another way to state this word, then we will figure out another way.
Yeah, but I know that in in the UPWP.
Yeah.
It's a trigger word.
Yeah.
And pedestrian, the word pedestrian is a trigger word.
Yeah.
So I'm just asking that, you know, if we have to edit that so that we don't trigger nothing. Y'all, you understand where I'm coming from? All right, what's your question?
This is Milton. My question is, are we having to reconform our whole program?
A whole lot of stuff.
So that means that we're submitting?
Well, the thing is that
as a county and right, city?
Whether you're the county or whether you're the municipality, the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to get shut off because a word's trigger. You getting frozen. That's what we're dodging. Okay. So we're looking at what is the best method not to dodge it. And I'll give you an example. If you have a grant and has matching funds, you know, and it's one of those things where you spend the money and then they reimburse you. All right. Don't spend that money until you sure that money is going to be there to reimburse you because it may not come. See, and that might be something that you've already done that you're thinking you're going to get reimbursed, but a word triggers and you don't get reimbursed. All right. So now how sensitive that is, it's anybody's guess. They really, as I talk to staff and as I talk to others, it's really a guesstimation of what's going to trigger and what's not going to trigger, because the day it may trigger, tomorrow it may not trigger. See, and so we just don't know.
But we've used this terminology forever.
Listen, we've been doing some stuff for 240 years, but all of a sudden now it's illegal, or it caused controversy, or you got to go to court in order to prove this and prove that and prove the other. So, and Wakota can speak to you more about our meeting with staff and thing is, we're just trying to err on the side of caution so that we don't get stuff kicked out. All right. Stuff taken away. If it's already, and I think the best way I can say it, and those who are from GDOT probably could, if GDOT has already received the federal funds, or if the port has already received the fund, or the county or the city have already received the fund, you don't have to worry about it. Just go ahead. But if you're waiting on some money to come, it could get frozen in the deep freezer, which means that I don't know when it's coming out. Okay. So what my suggestion to them was to, let's be careful that we don't trigger somebody. All right. To cause us to go to negative. And that's the only reason I brought up that we have pedestrian, because that's one of the things that they said in the UPWP that trigger, that's a trigger word. And see, we know what it means. We understand what we're talking about. And in essence, it is pedestrians, people walking. So if we have to use the word people walking, let's use people walking. So it don't trigger something because they get caught up on a word. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's where you all, that's where we all are.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the board understands where you are, where we are when we talk about these things.
We have alternative words that we can put in its place, but I do have a question for Pam or Wakota. How much can we change the wording after the fact, after the RFP has already been released and we've already received proposals?
But if we give and you're the lawyer now, so but if the board gives them permission to change the wording or edit the wording, let me use the word edit the wording so that it doesn't trigger anything, that's legal and okay, right?
Typically what happens is once you've issued an RFP and we've received it back in, the way it went out is the way the contract should read. However, in this instance, we may have to, if the federal law changes, we will have to make that change.
Right. And so they call that, if I'm not wrong, don't they call that addendum? We have to put an addendum to it?
It's too late to put out an addendum because we've already accepted the proposals, okay. But we will work
But if the federal government says.
If they say we change it, we change it.
Right.
We change it.
That's the point we want to get to, all right, that you understand. They say we need to change it, we're changing it so that we don't get shut out. Okay.
Dr. Shabazz wanted to speak as well.
All right. No, well, listen. All right, Dr. Shabazz, you online?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Morning. I was I just wanted to make a comment earlier before you all took the vote when Ms. Wako was talking, but it's already been answered. I was just to to talk about just exactly what you're talking about now, the uncertainties with all the work that has been done and the allocations of the money that was done, you know, before January the 20th, 2025. You already answered my question, but, you know, we just living in this time of uncertainties, and I'm agreeing exactly with what you all are saying, and you've answered my questions about this uncertain time that we're in now. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, for recognizing me.
All right. Anything else, huh? Anything?
I just want to reiterate, if you have someone in mind to review the proposals, please let me know.
Please look at some of your staff members or some of your constituents, all right, and let them get in touch with the staff here, okay, so that we can get that other person on there. Because I would hate for us to have done all this work and we short one person and then they kick it out because we short one person. I mean, you know, you never know. That may come up. You know, y'all didn't have the appropriate, you know, it's like, let's say, you did business, but you didn't have a quorum. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on.
I will be giving this report as well. So we are restarting the non-motorized transportation plan update process. To give background, it is the bicycle and pedestrian plan for the Savannah region. And included in this plan is bicycle and pedestrian projects, community goals and objectives, and community information regarding non-motorized transportation. The project was originally paused to accommodate the development of other projects, such as the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, the Participation Plan, and the Title VI Plan. But since those were completed and adopted, the plan development for the non-motorized plan has restarted. So we aim to adopt this plan in June 2025. The current status is the next major step in this process is to score and rank the projects that we have identified for this plan. So staff has been working on a scoring methodology to rank these projects. And that's because the original scoring framework was made in 2014 and needed to be updated. Additionally, all projects from the previous and other updated versions of the non-motorized plan have to be rescored. So that means scoring around 500 projects. So because of that, the steering committee is going to come together and create a scoring method that is simple enough to score 500 projects, but then also effective enough to accurately evaluate the prioritization of these projects. So staff aims to complete the scoring of the projects by the end of March, and then I'll finalize the content of the plan from April to June. The steering committee has also been reactivated. We have not met yet, but right now we are planning to meet likely in early March. So according to the scheduling poll we sent out, it's looking like the first week of March might be the best time to meet. And so we will meet and go over that scoring methodology so then we can move on to finally scoring all 500 of those projects. In relation to the bicycle and pedestrian facility study, so the non-motorized transportation plan will be adopted and completed before the study. But when that facility study is completed, those results will inform future updates of the non-motorized transportation plan. In terms of the scoring methodology considerations, what are we thinking of ranking and prioritizing these projects by? So we have listed some examples down here in terms of ranking those projects. So we want to look at zero-car households, existing public transportation, existing bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure, safety and crash data, for example, and then also take inspiration from the equity scoring method. So for those who have seen the equity scoring method from the 2050 MTP, a lot of that was actually inspired by the meetings that we had with the non-motorized transportation plan steering committee. And so there may be similarities between that equity scoring method and this scoring method if you want an idea of what that looks like. And so that is the end of this status report. If there are any questions or comments, I can take them now. And you can also email me as well.
Questions, comments from anyone? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, let's move on. The project grants.
Anna Broadmerkle-McQuarrie, Core MPO staff.
So you all have maybe heard us talking about a resilience improvement plan for the past couple of months. And so Core MPO was planning to apply for promoting resilience operations for transformative, efficient, and cost-saving transportation, or PROTECT grant. This came out of the bipartisan infrastructure law, so applying for discretionary funds to create a resilience improvement plan. So thinking of wordsmithing, an example of how things might change, a resilience improvement plan was changed to efficiency and quality improvement plan, or EQIP, and we're managing disruptions. However, staff proceeded through that with the application process until notified on February 12th that the Notice of Funding Opportunity, or NOFO, was removed from grants.gov as of February 11th for review by Federal Highway Administration. This was previously due February 24th. And so we did receive actually 15 letters of support. One came in after this report was written. So we really thank everyone for submitting those letters of support, and we will hold on to them should this grant opportunity reappear. And so the official notice was that the grant is under review and it's removed. Any reopening or reposting of this opportunity will be available on grants.gov, and we'll include any updates made as a result of this review. So it's on hold.
All right.
Thank you.
Any questions? All right. Thank you, ma'am. And as soon as we find out that we can get it off hold, then we get information out to everyone, right?
Yes. Any information we have will be sent out. And again, we're holding on to those letters of support. That language was updated to reflect the USDOT memorandum sent out on January 29th. And so any application would be reflective of, you know, the different priorities. And again, wordsmithing, so it has the same intent, but we'll keep you notified as we try to look out for new information. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Let's go on to President Street. We're ready. Somebody come drive the wheel.
I know, that's right. I'm not used to this. Good morning, everyone. Right. My name is Teresa Scott. I'm with
there
Atlas.
It is.
And we are, Atlas is under contract with Chatham County to perform a study on President Street at the railroad crossing. And we have studied this intersection to considered eliminating the crossing, and we're familiar with everything that goes on there. We've heard a lot from public and others about the blockages that do occur. So this morning I'm here to talk about what we have come up with and present our preferred alternative. Just a reminder of our project goals. We did get a very good understanding of the existing traffic patterns and also the rail operations. We looked at both. We talked to a lot of people. We investigated on site and got a lot of really good information, promoting the involvement to all of the neighborhoods and the stakeholders. We got a lot of good information and really good ideas from that. And we'll talk about how we did that. Develop our conceptual alternatives, and then we've also selected a preferred alternative, and we did look at cost, feasibility, and constructability of all of that. This is just a reminder of where our study area began. We did look at a much larger area to make sure that we knew what was going on in that area and how that impacts the traffic on President Street. And after looking at that and gathering all the existing information, we narrowed that study area down to President Street right there along about General McIntosh Boulevard out to Pennsylvania Avenue is what we focused on. I did mention stakeholder engagement and public engagement, and there are ways that you can see more information if you want to. We do have some project web pages, and you can get that way, get to those pages. If you'll look at the bottom of that slide, it gives you two paths to get to the project website, and you can review the information there. Also, though, attached to your agenda, I believe you all have a copy of the draft final report and also some information on the public meeting. But we did hold meetings. We talked to industry-specific stakeholders that are in that area. We had community meetings we held in three different places, and we also had a public information meeting that we just held February 12th of this year and got some really good comments and feedback from everybody. We also, just so you know, you've got a couple more days if anybody wants to go online and take a look at what we presented at the public information meeting, which is what you're going to see in just a minute. If you have comments that you would like to register, the comment period is open until Friday. So if you have any opinions or any input, you are absolutely welcome to go and comment online. So we will talk now about our preferred alternatives. So we are bringing forward two alternatives to the county. Alternative one is a short-term alternative. It's a short-term, not fix, but it will help in the meantime. And it's a much, it won't take as long to construct, and it doesn't cost quite as much money as what our preferred alternative is. But this would add a third lane to President Street westbound between the ramps at Truman Parkway, and actually it will extend past one of those ramps westbound to tie into an existing third lane there. What we anticipate happening is traffic that wants to exit and get onto Truman Parkway southbound can use that third lane to get out of everybody's way that wants to go straight. And also it will help dissipate traffic a little bit more after the blockages occur. Also in that third lane, you can the buses, transit buses, trolleys, those sorts of things that are required to stop at the railroad track, hopefully could use that lane to stay kind of further to the right and not block all three lanes of traffic. And then the preferred alternative three is what we are bringing forward to the county as a long-term project, and this is a Green Tea Trumpet interchange. And if you'll notice on your screen what you're looking at, the blue depicts a bridge structure. So on west of Truman Parkway on President Street, we are proposing a grade separated bridge there to bridge over the railroad, CSX Railroad, and that eliminates that crossing altogether. And you would come back down to grade just before going under Truman Parkway. We would also reconfigure Truman Parkway ramps. So the loop ramp to the west would be removed, and we would add an extra structure to the loop ramp on the east side there. And doing that, we would eliminate one signal, and all of Truman Parkway traffic would come to one point. So in the evenings when traffic is heavy going out of Savannah, going back towards the islands, you will have two lanes of free-flowing traffic. And coming in the mornings, hopefully that will speed things along as well. And then not stopping at the railroad track is always a good thing. Let's see. So this is very short today, but I just wanted to show you those. But these are some contact information if you do have any other questions. My contact information is on there. Our PM, Deanna Brooks, is our contact with Chatham County. If you would like to speak with her, we're happy to talk with y'all about any of these alternatives and what we have done so far. Any questions for me?
My questions? Yes, sir.
Can you speak a little bit to CSX's involvement and when and what they'll have to approve and what potential challenges we may have with moving forward with some of these preferred options as it relates to the railroad?
Yes. So CSX was, they are one of our stakeholders that we've talked to constantly. We've kept in contact with them, and we originally we had some rail options that we looked at, but they were not crazy about those, and it really didn't make a lot of sense in the long term. But they are favorable of just leaving them alone and us going up and over them. I believe the biggest hurdle would be railroad right of way, but we've worked with them before. You know, if this is federal funding, GDOT may be involved. GDOT has a lot of experience working with CSX. I don't really see a lot of problems with them on this, simply because we're not reconfiguring their track and we're really not impacting them.
I would imagine that the crossing would elimination would be something particularly interesting to them, but in terms of just the construction itself, is there, I'm not an engineer, so can you help me think about how that impacts the railroad and whether or not there will be an impact there that they would want to may potentially stand in our way on this project?
We do have to get permits to be on their right of way. The construction company would have to get be permitted to be on their right of way and follow all of their rules. Other than that, I'm not sure that there would be a lot of kickback from them. I think they would be happy to accommodate that and help us get to this, to get the bridge built, just because it does help them. Now they can free flow and not have to worry about traffic. But no, I don't see any big issues there. It's just getting through their network. You think federal process is hard? Working with the railroads a little bit harder.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Let me do this if I may. Come on. He works directly. All right. In the meeting we had just yesterday, in the meeting we had with CSX just yesterday. All right. They compliment, Nathaniel on his working with them. So, you give them an idea, of what your conversation was with them.
Yeah, so from CSX standpoint, really what they're going to be concerned about is the clearance. They want to know that from the bottom of the beam to their track, they have minimum clearance for any railroad or any of their cars. Hurdles, the only thing from a constructability standpoint, when you're setting those beams, obviously you don't want the trains running underneath at that time. So we'll have to coordinate the timing of setting the beams with the train crossings. But short of that, we don't see any hurdles that make this an impossible project.
That's very helpful information. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
That's why I wanted him, because he's talking directly to them, all right, in this project. And one of the things that, you know, that I said to them when we was talking, the way they have to stack that train, the trains for it to go, you know how it pulls up, like y'all know it right now. It pulls up and stop, then it's got to back up and go. And so I asked the question, now, if we've got the overpass above you and the train got to stop right up under the overpass, what's going to be the effect? All right. So they're into that too. All right. And I don't speak engineering. All right. But I can say my thoughts were is y'all know that smoke come out the stack. So if the engine stops right up under the overpass, what is going to be the original effect to the motorists who are crossing over there? And they told me that they by the time we get this whole thing lock, stock, and barrel, all right, they would have already addressed that, is what he told me that you all talked about, all right? So I just want you to know those facts.
Thank you. And sure. One more question.
Sure.
And Nathaniel, I'm sure you've thought about the Bilbo Canal there.
Yes.
And I can't see the map now, but does the new – President Street Bridge over the tracks that would span the canal as well.
Yes, sir. It would fly over the canal. In this picture, the blue highlighted area is your bridge. So right there is your Bilbo Canal, if y'all can mm-hmm. see that. So the landing would be down here. So our critical path, like I said, is getting that minimum clearance for the train track, and then we start tapering down. We have to taper down enough to get under the Truman. I think we've talked about we may have to jack the bridges on Truman a little bit. It's all possible. It costs money, but I think Atlas has done an excellent job on looking at the constructability of the project and coming back with a concept that's feasible to carry forward to preliminary engineering and move this thing forward.
Could I ask and make the recommendation that the City of Savannah Water Resources and Stormwater team also be a stakeholder whenever
Absolutely.
They're involved? Thank you so much.
Yeah, make sure they're at the table.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure everybody.
We want to sit, not just them. We want traffic, you know, everyone. We want you at the table with us.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's moving.
Well, I'll be happy to consult on the side. I did have a question then.
Sure.
You're talking about the clearance. What is the clearance and therefore the grade of the bridge that is proposed?
So I'm remembering from the Jimmy DeLoach project where we did it. I believe it's 23 feet. But don't I'll get you that information. We'll send it to Wycota and have that sent out to you, but I believe it's 20.
Depends on the type of train car that you need to clear.
Also that, yes.
Okay. We're happy to consult. Happy to consult.
Yeah. But, and not just this, CSX is going to be a partner throughout this process with us, so we're not going to do anything without them being aware of it.
When you come to consult, you're going to bring your wallet in your pocket?
No, sir. I don't have a facility down there.
Okay. Any other questions?
I've got one.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering, I know that non-motorized transportation was a hot topic when we discussed President Street before. Can you share how this is going to affect that?
I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot to talk about that. So we do know that non-motorized transportation is important through this corridor as well. So you can see on this drawing, the yellow depicts possible sidewalks, shared use path, anything like that that we can put in there. So that was a consideration as well.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. If they want to bike across it, it'll be fine. It'll be in the yellow than anything else. All right. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Just look forward to this moving like Louisville Road move. It's moving. So hopefully we can move too.
Okay, the next agenda item is potential impacts from federal funding freeze. Mm-hmm. We prepared this information just trying to tentatively evaluate what impacts that we would have with all of this uncertainty. So this information, it just listed over here just for reference. And this is our current TIP. As you can see, some of these projects are highlighted in yellow, because we know the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Program, since the funds, since the funds have not been authorized, so they all might experience delay for funding authorization. But with the yellow highlighted projects in particular, might be of greater concern because, we have 307 funds. That's transportation alternatives funds. That's for bicycle pedestrian. And then you also have Y60 funds. That's carbon reduction program funds. So those are all in question right now. And also the protect funds on Y800. So of these projects, you can see the highlighted, these projects actually have those funds. So we highlight those. So these funds, these projects might experience, further delay. Than the green highlighted ones. So you can see in the Chevron's Road Guard, even the US 17 Bridge and Tybee Island, Las Red Creek Bridge, just because of the funding. So this is the potential. We don't know for sure, but it's just the potential impacts. And also for the federal funded projects, we know that we have four discretionary funded projects in our area. I just confirmed with Joe, City of Savannah has already signed the contract with Federal Highway Administration on the I-16 X removal project, the reconnecting community. But right now we don't know. Even if you sign the contract, they are still subject to, like contract is subject to review, by the federal government. So we don't know, where that leads us. The 37th Street, that contract hasn't been signed yet, since, Mr. McCurry over here. So I don't know. Have you signed the contract with the FHWA on the renewable project?
No, it's it is fully negotiated and waiting someone else's signature.
Okay.
So no, and then the other one we're not involved with, even though it has port facilities on there. I'm not sure the status of the Volterra project.
Yeah, so it just I mean, in general, I would expect this to be delayed a little bit at least. So if not totally canceled, so it will be delayed. And then for the project at ending construction, So my take on it is like, for example, I-16 widening project, it should proceed. But if GDOT needs to get reimbursement from Federal Highway Administration, that might delay the project. But I'm glad that I talked with Kenise this morning, and then she said every project that have funding authorized should be okay. So basically the construction projects, because they already have construction funds authorized, so they should be okay. So that includes I-16 and then the Brampton Road Connector and Effingham Parkway. So we should be okay. So hopefully that is the case. And then we also talked about the CAT project, because it seems like the public transportation now considered like a local service, not of national significance or something, just based on the new directions. So we expect some CAT funding might be delayed, including some of the like fixed route and the ferry program. I think the paratransit might be okay because Chatham County funded paratransit, right, 100%. So I think that one should be okay. But fixed route and the ferry that has federal funding associated with them might be impacted, might be delayed.
What could I see? You're saying the ferry dock grant, and that's for the which ferry dock?
Because you see the section 5307, that's federal funds.
No, I understand that's federal funds. What's the specific project?
The boat maintenance ramp.
Boat maintenance ramp.
Boat okay. maintenance. What did that? Slip 3?
Yeah, so those two projects, that's the Plant Riverside dock okay. and the maintenance facility. Both of those RFPs are out right now. So those funds have been executed, and we anticipate receiving those funds.
You do anticipate receiving yes. those funds. Mm-hmm. And what is I've heard that there's a gap potentially in the especially for the Plant Riverside dock.
That is
funding.
Correct. Yes.
What's the gap in funding?
So we have not received the final bids yet, but this is a bid that we had to reissue because we only had one bidder, and we feel like if we reissued it, we may get some more bidders, but at that time it was a $1.5 million gap. We hope that by reissuing it, that may be reduced because there may be some other bidders out there that can bid on the project.
And what's the total amount of the grant fund?
Don't quote me on that. I believe it was $2.5 million. I'm sorry. So there's two projects associated with the grant. So you have the Plant Riverside Dock and the maintenance facility.
Yeah.
And I don't know the exact, division between those, but I will get back and I will send that to Lakota to send out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we hope all the funds come. So if the funds have been authorized, we might be on the safer side. But if they haven't been authorized, there might be delays. So these are the transit projects. And we also listed the UPWP projects actually, because we would just go ahead and processing the reimbursements so the Quorum PO can continually to be funded. So based on our conversation with UDOT, so they probably will process, when we submit the reimbursement, they will process that. So hopefully that is the case. But regarding the UPWP, basically we did have several studies. We already talked about the three studies. So we will be hesitant to sign the contract right now, but we will just proceed with the review process. But we will just wait a little bit more and to be more certain before we sign the contract. So these are just some information that we compiled. So that might have potential impacts. Hopefully the impact is not as big as we have expected.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Just really quick. I don't think Effingham Parkway has any federal funding, so.
Okay. If it's state, yeah, that's safe.
Yeah.
If it's state fund, yeah, that's safe. Yeah.
And with GDOT telling us to proceed as nothing happened. All right. So I think they'll be the ones who take the brunt of it. They'll be the ones who act as intervener for us.
Yeah, GDOT might have more information,
right.
So that we don't. But so I think we just proceed.
Proceed as nothing happened.
Yeah, proceed. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Let's move on.
Is Kitty online?
GDOT project status. Do we have online?
Okay, Katie's not online.
Okay.
Do you want to give the presentation? Or Katie did submit this report, so the GDOT report is actually attached to the agenda.
To the agenda, yeah. So let's accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's go to Chatham County.
Good morning again, y'all. I think our report, y'all should have a copy. One quick update. I don't think this is on the report, but we did open bids yesterday for a temporary traffic signal at the intersection of Little Neck Road, John Carter Road, DOT Barn Road. Those bids were favorable. We're going to review them this week, and we expect to send that to y'all for consideration at your next board meeting to get that. So all goes well this summer. We should have a new traffic signal there to help manage traffic.
All right.
Outside of that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Make sure Commissioner Milton got that. All right, because she the one going to get the fire.
She will. That should help alleviate some of it, so not all
of it. Make sure you send that to them.
We will.
That is out, and as soon as we point in and let them know.
Yes, sir.
When
there's a meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, because all they want to know is dates and timelines.
We'll send an update through the manager's office that he can.
All right, good. All right. All right, City of Savannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Joseph Shearhouse with the City of Savannah. First update is Project Durin, as many of you know, is a major six-lane arterial corridor connecting east and west, the east and west portions of the city. It connects to military destinations, hospitals, schools, and major employment centers. We're happy to announce that a notice to proceed on the operational improvements for Project Durin was issued by the City of Savannah on December 18th. Those improvements are ongoing now. The public involvement plan comments were received back from FHWA on January 13th. We're also working diligently for updated guidance on the environmental justice process, which is going through some changes. So we look forward to having another positive update at our next board meeting for those operational improvements. Next up, we have the Delesseps Avenue Complete Streets projects. As a reminder to the board, this project includes adding sidewalk walks and bike lanes and drainage improvements, curb and gutter, and pedestrian facilities at traffic signals. The Delesseps project is 64% complete and continues to progress with pipe installation and paving and sidewalk installations. The Truman Linear Trail Phase 2B, which is a connecting trail network, which will create approximately 7 miles of continuous multipurpose trail from Daffin Park to Lake Mayor, is under construction. The notice to proceed on that construction was issued late last year, and estimated completion remains June of 2026. The Middle Ground Road Trail Network was awarded by City Council with a notice to proceed on December 27th of last year. The design portion of this project is ongoing now, and this project has a completion date somewhere within 3 to 4 years. The I-16 ramp removal project, which was a federal earmark award through the Reconnecting Communities Program, has been executed through GDOT, and the update to the IMR, the Interchange Modification Report for that flyover over Martin Luther King, is ongoing now in partnership with the Georgia Department of Transportation. That's an update on the City of Savannah projects, and I'll hand it back off unless there's any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Thank you, sir. Let's go to the airport. Anything from the airport? Nothing? All right.
The airport report is attached to the agenda.
Yeah, it's attached.
Yeah.
All right. Nobody's here to give a report. All right, let's go to Kat.
Thank you. I shared a little bit about some of the projects earlier, but I'd like to share some good news in that the two ferries were recently delivered, and you can go see them. They're at the Weston Dock. They still have to go through the Coast Guard approval, but we anticipate having those up and operational in the spring of this year. In addition to the ferry projects, we've also completed construction on our pantograph charger, so that is the fast charger at our ITC. Still going through some permit process and hope to have that fully operational in the next 2 weeks. And then also in your report is our paratransit maintenance facility that just went to our board yesterday, and they approved the site selection. So the highest performing site on that was the 14 Interchange Drive. So we're going to move forward with the acquisition of that site to move forward with that project. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, let's go to Paul Wentworth. Are they there? All right, let's move on. Sacramento DOT, nothing. All right. Any comments from anybody else? All right, I don't have any notes. All right, let's go ahead. Cool.
Yeah, the notices I just want to mention, the Georgia actually have this call for projects, not call for projects, yeah. Basically, there's some kind of funding, so access to the federal land. So it's a program that is available to us. So all the information is actually included over here. So if you do want to have some kind of project that access to federal land, be it highway projects or pedestrian projects or bike projects, you will be eligible. So just want to make sure that you have this information available. Last time we heard this program is not very competitive. So if we want to submit a project, the chances of getting the funds is pretty high. But it just has to be access to federal land. So I know Port Pulaski is a federal land, but I don't know what other federal land that we have over here. But if you do have something that you want to take advantage of this funding opportunity, please take a look at this. Thank you.
All right. The next CoHo MPO board meeting will be April the 23rd, 2025 at 10 a.m. here in the chamber. Motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Probably motion and second that we adjourn. Starting to my right, let's vote.
Callahan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Cody, yes.
Jonathan, I don't.
Milton, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Gunny Smith, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
McCurry, yes.
All right, have a great day. We adjourn.